Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 27th day of April, Anno Domini 2024, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Here comes the news. Speaking of dues, before we get to the news...
Safe to call now, folks.
It's safe to call now where the pledge drive is over. So those of you who were cowering in your homes, unwilling to call, can now start calling again. And the number is 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. And we are live here in the studio on the 27th day of April. Last week, it was a confluence of events. We all had life events that took us away from the show. That happens once in a while.
Life does get in the way from time to time.
Sometimes it does, but we're all back now. So, do you like dealing with advertising, even in software that you already paid for?
Sure.
Of course you do.
Why wouldn't you?
And the same thing with streaming services you pay for.
Learn that much ads? More knowledge.
Right. According to Microsoft, anyway, you do, which continues to shove ads for its own products into every corner of Windows. A new glimpse at an upcoming Windows 11 feature from a prolific leaker said that the start menu is going to get some ad injections soon. We didn't report on it because we try never to report on rumors because there's a billion of them and all of them are wrong. But now it's official. Microsoft said so on Friday. On Friday, Microsoft rolled out Windows Insider Preview 22.635.3495 in the that's a catchy title. In the beta channel, the Windows 11 Start menu is showing app promotions. They'll appear in the recommended section of the menu, which at present includes applications that have recently been installed or frequently run by the user. This area of the Start menu also shows tips and shortcuts. We are now trying our recommendations to help you discover great apps from the Microsoft Store under Recommended on the Start menu, Microsoft said. This will appear only for Windows Insiders in the beta channel in the U.S. and will not apply to commercial devices or devices managed by organizations. So if you're part of, for example, a university, you won't see the ads.
Or a business.
Can the ads be turned off? Yes, it sounds like it, thankfully.
Oh, let me guess. They're going to probably, if you don't want the ads, charge you for it.
Probably.
So they can make more money.
That's next. This can be turned off by going to Settings, Personalization, Start, and turning off the toggle for Show Recommendations for Tips, Ad Promotions, and more. Advertising is becoming a ubiquitous site in Windows. We've been talking about Microsoft's encroaching advertising in Windows for the better part of a decade now, and it's only getting worse. Advertising isn't bad in concept, but Windows is still a product that you pay real money for, either outright via a license or as an extra cost of buying a PC. And now you'll be paying Microsoft to show you ads. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is... Ads are coming to the Microsoft Start menu. Your choices are great. Paying to see ads? Happy to do it. Well, I'm sure Microsoft needs the money. Just glad I can turn them off. So, tell me more about Linux and Microsoft. So far, we've got 22 votes. And Microsoft is just ahead of So Tell Me... just glad I can turn them off. Oh, that's tied with So Tell Me More About Linux. So, once you voted in the poll, you may have more to say about this because we know who you are, and we know you are often interested in speaking. So,
have opinions.
You have your own opinions. So you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Look, I get it. Everybody wants, we have to remember that we are not Microsoft's customer.
Mm-mm.
Microsoft is a publicly traded company. Their customers are the shareholders. We are the product that the company brings to its customers.
Yep.
So when the customers say we're not making enough money, Microsoft has to listen. And Microsoft is not really at this point in much of a position to charge a whole lot more for Windows itself. Also, you've already bought Windows. You're not going to buy another copy.
Yes, part of the problem is people aren't buying new copies of Windows.
Right.
And they're finding less expensive and free alternatives to Microsoft Office.
Right. So people, Microsoft needs to make money. And there are two ways to do it. The one they've picked now is showing ads. The other way, which they've been telling their shareholders they're going to do for years, is make Windows a subscription product, which is why we're telling people, as long as you've got a running computer, try out Linux. but yeah, so we're going to see Microsoft finding better ways, or more ways at least, to make money.
Yeah, every company is always looking for new revenue streams. Robert, are you charging for this? Oh, how about we charge a little more to get a better this?
Right. Yeah. Well, the other alternative, too, is which we've been saying are, Chromebooks.
Yep.
I mean, for the most part, a lot of folks do, internet surfing, emails, yep, surfing the web, or maybe doing a document or two or a spreadsheet. Oh, wait, you can do that all free on Chrome.
Yep. Right. With the Chrome OS or Chrome OS Flex on an old computer, anything you do in the browser, and some things you do at the desktop, you can do on Chrome OS or Chrome OS Flex. And, I talk to people all the time. How often do you do something that's not in the browser? Well, sometimes I write a letter. Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. First, they don't say, what's a browser?
Some do. Some do. But we get past that. And yep, what do you do outside the browser? And people will say, okay, I run, some people run Quicken, but you can do that online. Some mm-hmm. people write letters or do spreadsheets. You can do that online. Some people have genealogy programs. You can do many of those online. If you can find a way to do all of your stuff online, just in the browser, a Chromebook is an amazingly inexpensive alternative to a brand new laptop or desktop.
But it's a conceptual change.
Right.
And that's the biggest hindrance. Yeah. I'm used to having a computer with tons of RAM and tons of storage and all my stuff.
That's the bump in the road.
Yeah.
Right. And, you can have, we've talked about this before. People will say, well, I don't have, where do I store everything? Well, if you're using Google Docs, Google Drive, and you use their products and you save them in their format, currently, at least, it does not count against your total amount of space. You get 15 gig, which doesn't sound like a lot, but documents and spreadsheets and databases and everything else don't count against your total. So I've got 20,000 documents on my system. I'm only using like 5 gig.
That, just to go back just a little bit, you sit there and say, well, I know 15 gig isn't that much, but if you were to go flop back, say, 20 years, you was a holy macaroni, I got a ton of space. I'll never need any more in my whole lifetime.
There was a time in
now
in
it's
the past,
just
when we would have killed in public for 15 gig of storage.
And now it's like, I just don't know if I can quite squeeze everything in there with all the videos and all this other stuff I do nowadays.
I was talking about that this morning with the customer brought in a 2011 computer and wanted a RAM upgrade on it. And I remember RAM was $1,000 a meg.
Yep.
When I started on my Mac Plus.
Yep.
And now, you know, $50 for, you know, 16 gigs or whatever it was. That's ridiculous.
Right. And you almost can't pay more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's where you know.
Well, actually, sometimes the older RAM gets more expensive because they stop making it.
Right. Older RAM, yes. But any new system?
Yeah.
I want the fastest RAM you've got. Okay, $50 for 16 gig. No, I want that is the fastest. That's what you get these days.
You put faster RAM in it, it doesn't help any because the bus is only working at some speed.
Well, that's exactly right. That's the other part of the problem. It's not
where you move the bottleneck.
Right. There's always a bottleneck. There's always something that makes it slow. And it doesn't matter how fast your RAM is. If the computer will only take it at a certain speed. In fact, faster RAM may not even work.
Yep.
So it's a tough thing. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Dave from Leroy, New York. Hi, Dave. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. During COVID, I was having an issue in that I teach graphic design at a BOCES, and the Adobe products don't work on Chromebooks, but most of my students are given Chromebooks, you know, from their home schools. We have 14 different school districts that we represent. So they have Chromebooks, but not necessarily desktops or laptops.
Right.
So I had to really, I'm sorry.
Right.
No, go ahead.
So I had to figure out, well, you know, how do I substitute the Adobe products for something that they can use? And I settled on two, which I really like, and I wanted to share with your audience.
Please.
If you're doing photo editing, there's a program called Photopea. Photopea.
Yep.
It's free, and I will tell you that it runs like 98% like Adobe Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's just that you have to upload the photos that you want to edit and, you know, then download them or export them as whatever. But if you're a photo editor, that is wonderful because it works on anything. It's browser-based. And if you're a little bit more advanced and you do vector-style drawing, there's a program called Vector, V-E-C-T-R, that I would recommend because it does the same thing as Adobe Illustrator.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can export as an Adobe Illustrator file, but you can export as like SVG and EPS and stuff. So,
and how do you spell that?
V-E-C-T-R.
V-E-C-T-R. Well, that explains it. Yeah, there you go.
Both are free. I do think that they ask for some nominal fee if you wish for a few more features, which I would gladly pay for to support them.
Right,
because they pulled my rear out of a sling during COVID. They really did.
Yep,
and
yep.
I told them so.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I wish more people understood that. You can get a lot of good stuff for free, but throwing them a few bucks now and then encourages them to keep building products.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we love to see that.
Other features or improvements.
That's exactly right.
And a lot of the newer Chromebooks can also run Linux and other Unix programs, and so something like the GIMP would work too.
Escape, yeah, sure. Yep. And Scribus, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Exactly right. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Have a great day.
You too, Dave.
Good solution to a tough problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye bye.
Yeah, I did some work for a guy once, and part of the deal, part of the contract, was updates and fixes for which he would pay me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some fixes for him and he refused to pay me.
Mm-hmm.
Said they were part of the deal. So I said, okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. The next time he called me, I said, I don't work for you anymore. I'm sorry. I just don't work for you anymore. I'm not going to do any more for you. You don't pay for what I do.
Yeah.
And it's in the contract that you do pay for what I do. Well, now wait a minute. That's unreasonable. No, perfectly reasonable.
How is it?
How is it unreasonable not to pay someone for the work they do?
Well, yeah. We see it all the time in the arts. Well, I can't give you money, but you'll get exposure. Oh, yeah. Great. The day I can buy a cup of coffee with exposure,
Yep.
Is the day I will work for free.
I'm sorry, mm-hmm. my landlord doesn't pay except rent and exposure.
That's exactly right. And I get it. Everybody's clamped. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's squeezed. I absolutely get it. But it's everybody. So work with me here. You know? But that's the other thing. Dave points out a really interesting thing. You need to get creative a little bit sometimes. But the reality is that you can actually quite easily find alternatives.
There are ways to figure it out. You just got to do some research and take the time to do it.
Right. For example, there is a site called alternative2.net where you can type in the name of a program and it will show you alternatives. Now, that means you're going to have to do a little bit of research on your own, and people get lazy, and I get that. But the fact is that you will find that there are an amazing number of alternatives to programs. We talk all the time about LibreOffice being a free alternative to Microsoft Office. Well, it's not the only one. I have a friend with a very old laptop. She just wanted to get it running so she could play on it. And it had very little RAM and very little space. So we put Puppy Linux on it. And that came with now I'm not going to remember the name of it. It starts with an A. A word processor. That's
Abby Word.
Abby Word. Thank you very much. That's fairly full featured. And that doesn't do everything, but it certainly did everything she needed it to do. It's free and it's tiny, and she didn't have room to load LibreOffice. And Abby Word does everything she wanted to do. So you find alternatives, they're there, and you just have to look for them, and you'll figure out what you need.
Well, it's just like that one the guy that was looking for an alternative to Quicken, and we told him about Money Dance.
Yep.
Same thing, looks the same, works the same, and oh, it's very cheap, folks.
It's very cheap. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is John from Rochester, New York. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, I wonder if you guys got any idea how I could get my email from Frontier. They suggest to go to Yahoo, type in your email and your password, and you'd be able to get your mail. Right now, I'm having a problem. I had to fax my driver's license phone twice and my picture, and they're telling me it's no good.
So it's not accepting your password?
Yes.
Then you have to go through the forgot password procedures.
I did that, and it tells me to call them up, and they tell me they want the picture of my driver's license. I sent it twice, and twice a picture of myself, and still no go.
Are you calling Frontier, or are you calling Yahoo?
You have to call Yahoo.
Frontier.
Frontier passed everything to Yahoo a couple months ago. They warned everyone about the last year that this was happening, and you should have done it already, but then last month they canceled everything from Frontier, and it has to go to Yahoo. You said you're faxing the driver's license. Maybe it's not high enough quality.
I'm emailing on the cell phone, texting it.
Yeah, text is not high enough quality. You have to... Do you have another email address you can use?
Yeah, I have another email. I got two emails.
Yeah, well, you can try that email address and upload a high-quality picture rather than a cell picture.
Well, they don't want that. They want a text from the cell phone.
Well, text pictures are too low a quality to see.
Well, that's why I try to tell them that's what they want. I called back three times, and that's what they're asking for.
Okay,
got another idea or something.
Hold on. Let's back up a bit, John. You went to Yahoo. You typed in your username and, you know, whatever it is at rochester.rr.com.
Frontiernet.net.
Yeah.
Frontiernet.net. Sorry. You're on Frontier.
Yeah.
And your password, and it came back
invalid.
And it came back and said invalid. So you did forgot password.
Yes. And to a cell phone number.
Now he has to prove his identity.
Right.
By the system he has already set up in place.
Right.
Which he probably didn't have one.
Right. So, but they had your phone number.
Right.
So they texted you a code.
Right.
You put in that code and they didn't take it?
Nope. They didn't give me a code. They said my identity wasn't right, the driver's license.
No, I'm back way before that. This is the first time you signed in.
Right.
You signed in, you said forgot password, and what happened?
It says type in again, and they typed it in again.
Okay.
They told me to get a password. I never got a password from them.
Did you check, like, your spam folder and your trash?
Yeah, nothing.
Well, he can't receive any mail if he doesn't have the right password.
Frontier no more.
Well, but you have the other address.
Your Frontier address works through Yahoo now. It's the exact same email address.
Right.
But you have to have the correct password to receive email.
And yeah, but if you're trying to reset your... If you've forgotten your password, they can't send it to the address you can't get into.
You have to create another password.
They're supposed to send a code to your cell phone.
An alternative.
But if you don't have alternative identity set up already in place with... Yahoo, it can be very hard to get your account back.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to prove your identity, and it's not just some bad guy trying to do it. And so they are telling you to text your driver's license.
My driver's license, I did that twice, and a picture of me twice. And they're telling me it's no good.
What's the exact error? Because no good isn't an exact error.
Well, that's what they tell me. It's no good, and they hang up.
No, that we need to know the exact error message.
Why
is it no good?
They told me to call back in a couple of days and they'll figure it out. I called back, they tell me to fax them my driver's license.
Where did you get the phone number?
You want the phone number?
Where did you get the phone number?
From Frontier.
Ah, okay.
800-745-0739 is the Yahoo support phone number.
They gave me their number. They gave me was 1-866-769-2466. That's the one taking care of everything.
866-769-2466.
Yeah.
All right. So that is the correct phone number. It's a different phone number than Yahoo publishes, though.
Well, I got a lot of numbers from Yahoo. They keep giving me different numbers to call. I got a number here, 1-866-869-9257. I mean, I call four or five numbers. It's still not working.
Well, because you have to prove your identity, so you have to go through their procedure to prove your identity.
Yeah, and
I'm doing that, but
yeah. They should tell you why it's no good.
On the telephone.
Right, ask them why it's no good. Is it too low res? Is it, you know, can they not read it? There should be a why.
Yeah, they got to give you a reason. A reason for why it's not very good. Because then you're trying to grab at straws, and you don't know whether it's poor quality or it's not getting the full picture of it or what.
Okay, I'll try again.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Push them.
Yeah.
Push them. Press them to find out why. Don't just let them hang up after it's no good.
That doesn't give you anything to go research that.
Were you using an email program?
He's gone.
To get, okay. So presumably, if he was using an email program to log into his mail, he should be able to find the saved password. Or that when he was logging into Frontier. Or if he was using Frontier's webmail, the correct password should be saved in his browser.
Or an easier method would be... If he goes ahead and creates a Gmail account, then he goes over to where it says, you know, reset password, and they want an email address to send it to?
They don't want an email address. They will send it to your email address that they already have on file.
Right.
They won't send it to an alternative?
No, because then I could go to your account and say...
Then how the heck are you supposed to get into it?
You're supposed to set up that alternative ahead of time. So for everybody listening...
No matter who your service is.
No matter who your service is, you should have an alternate email address and your phone number.
Cell phone number,
because they're going to do texting in that system ready for the day that they forget who you are. And that's the only way, that's the easy way around the problem John has. Do that ahead of time. Do that today. For all of your email addresses, and that will help. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Before we get to the phones, thinking about Dave from Leroy calling and finding alternatives to the Adobe products. I have a friend who runs a fairly successful advertising agency from a Chromebook, does all kinds of branding and, you know, whatever, edits video and audio and everything out of a Chromebook. So it certainly can be done.
Oh, you were asking me before what I used for email and all that. That was back with Thunderbird. I was hooked on Thunderbird back in the day. And
yeah, but you still have to have a back end, and Yahoo was one of the few was...
What email provider did you read?
One of the big ones.
Oh, that was... well, I had it back then through Frontier.
Yep.
Because remember, that's when I had the shop, and right. I could knock on the wall.
Right.
Hey, there's a problem.
I think my first one was NetAccess.
Yes, remember I had a NetAccess
address.
Oh, yeah,
I had one of those, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
My first one was a system that no longer exists anymore, and then I was on CompuServe,
mm-hmm.
and then a couple of others. But yeah,
I couldn't afford CompuServe, so I went to Genie.
I had a Genie account. I had accounts everywhere.
Yep.
But remember, folks, you need to have a backup email address for when the sort of thing that happened to John happens to you.
A valid address that you still can log into.
Right, that you still can log into, and as Steve pointed out. During the break, make sure that password is strong.
Yep.
Because if it's a weak password, then they're going to get that one, and then they'll get your other one, and then you're done.
Well, the other thing, because I only had the Frontier for a little bit, and then Jerry Seward took hosted our website for my old company, and he handled all, the passwords and everything else. If I had a problem, hey, Jerry.
Yep, Jerry was great.
No problem. Take care of it. Yeah.
Right. Once I had asknick.com and nickf.com. And I
gave you the admin board that you could set your own reset your own passwords and everything else.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
All right. Back to the phones. Hopefully patiently waiting is Sharon from Churchville. Hi, Sharon. What's up?
Hi there. We recently bought a new computer. This was in December. We bought an HP Envy 360 laptop. And it is just arbitrarily shutting off. We'll be in the middle of something. Could be anything. Could be email. Could be on a website. And it just shuts off, and it reboots all by itself.
Sounds like a heat issue.
A heat issue.
Bad power supply.
Yeah, the fan is getting...
Can you hear the fan ramping up at all?
I didn't notice that.
Okay. Yeah. Usually, when it gets too hot, the fan starts ramping up really low, loud. Do the lights in the house flicker? Like when your refrigerator compressor kicks on? How old is your house? So we've seen that sometimes.
The house is like 3 years old.
So it's probably something wrong in the power supply. Most likely.
So it's under warranty. So should I be going?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Take it back to them and explain what's going on.
Yeah, don't futz around with it. You know, it ain't right. Get it fixed. Well, you have the warranty.
Use it.
Yeah.
Because they'll dump you like a hot potato once that warranty's gone.
Yeah, okay. Okay, very good. So I'll just connect with them and let them know what's going on, and hopefully, will they fix it or replace it?
They'll
make it right, whether it's like replacing something or giving you a new one or whatever it ends up
but
being.
One key thing, Sharon?
Pardon me?
One key thing, if they wanted to send it back, they want you to send it back to them.
Yeah.
Before you do that, even though you might have to have it reset a number of times, back up any of your important documents or photos or anything that's important to you. Because once it goes to them, they might just wind up giving you a whole new computer.
Or erase the hard drive and install a new operating system on it.
Right.
There's a wide variety of things that could happen with your personal information that once you put it out and send it out to them, you could kiss it goodbye.
Yep. So definitely back everything up.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And delete anything private.
Yes.
once you've backed it up, take it off of that machine. We see that all the time, not the second part, but the first part. You know, Microsoft, I called Microsoft, they said, you know, reformat. But all my data are gone. Yes, that's what reformat does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that the technician's job at that point is to get you up and running, not make you whole.
Get you off the phone as fast as they can.
Exactly, so they can go on to the next call. So always have, this is, you know, we preach backups all the time, and I'm sure you're as tired of hearing of it as we are of saying it. But the fact is that you don't have enough backups.
No.
So make more. And,
because I can remember, though, sorry, that I was out at Grossman's trying to work with them on a QuickBooks problem.
Yeah.
So we got on the phone and we're calling support. And, you know, they were just having problems getting the data corrected for this new version. Well, Dan and I got this one tech on, and his solution, well, it's got to be the computer. You're going to need to reformat it. I go, what cookbook are you reading out of?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He goes, excuse me? I go, why would I reformat a hard drive or an operating system for just your program? All the other programs are working fine, no problem. It is only QuickBooks. Why would I redo a whole machine and mess it up? Networking and everything else. Are you going to pay for that? Silence.
Yeah.
Well, tell you what, let me move you up to the next level tech.
Yeah.
He'll call you back in 20 minutes. Never got a call back.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't.
So they had to call, and the Grossman's called the corporate office and that, and all of a sudden they were, I don't know what they said to him, but all of a sudden they were sending the data out to him, turned around, and I think it was a day or two max, all of a sudden they're calling Dan and I back in. Yeah, could you come back in and double check all this stuff? Yeah, no problem.
Yep. Well, what we often find
laziness.
Is that individuals don't get a lot of attention. But corporations do because they buy multiple licenses.
Yeah, he had quite a few seats. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And telling them to erase the drive and reinstall Windows, get you off the phone because that's going to take an hour.
Right, right.
Well, if they didn't have us, you know, at the time.
They would have done it.
They didn't know.
Sure.
And they're never warned to back up their data first.
Right, right. So back up your data. Now is the best time. An hour ago would have been better.
Yep.
Now is the best time.
Or yesterday would be even.
Exactly.
Invent a time machine.
Right. By now, you're probably on high alert every time you get an actual phone call from someone you don't know. If it isn't the usual, we've been trying to contact you about your car's extended warranty recording, then it's probably someone from Windows trying to get you to install a remote access program. If they mix it up a bit and tell you they're from LastPass, yeah, it's the same old BS. Phishing scammers have expanded their operations to impersonate the password saving service LastPass. Calls alert users that their account has been accessed from a new location and they need to press 1 or 2 to stop the presumably nefarious hacker. According to an alert from LastPass itself, follow-up calls from real live humans will then instruct the user to give them their email address, where a phishing message will attempt to steal their real login info. Once the phishers have the master LastPass password, they instantly lock the real user out and have access to whatever information is saved within. It's a motherload of identity theft data, especially since the legitimate user is generally then unable to access the randomly generated passwords they've created for dozens or hundreds of sites, including banking and medical info. LastPass appears to have enough users at this point that it's become a frequent target for phishing scams, to say nothing of the tempting nature of its all-in-one personal data setup. The company has frequently been hit with high-profile hacks, most recently in 2022.
Every single LastPass customer's data was lost.
That's exactly right. The latest batch is targeting users themselves, thanks to the prevalence of ready-made phishing kits such as Crypto Chameleon. LastPass representatives say they've been able to shut down the site for the latest phishing attempt as of April 16th, but it seems almost inevitable that the malefactors will simply try again with another URL. So, heads up. Are you cynical enough when answering the phone? We are, but give us a call anyway. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. toll-free 800-790-0415.
And the other big one that's going around lately that I've seen, I don't know whether you guys seen, is all of a sudden a text message come in and say, oh, we can't deliver this package because, you know, the information isn't correct, and they want you to click on it.
You see it a lot more around holidays, you know, Christmas time package theft. I guess someone decided, hey, I can try to steal a package anytime.
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had a...
If you didn't sign up for text notifications from your package delivery service, ignore them?
Yeah.
Right.
Or if you're not expecting a package?
Right. Yeah. If you didn't buy anything, you probably aren't getting a package.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody might have sent me something. Yeah, okay.
Call them and ask them.
They will call you and say, did you get the thing I sent you?
Yeah.
I signed up for the USPS...
service to let you know what's coming.
Yeah. So I see pictures of all the mail that's coming in, all the junk mail. So when the postal machine scans it to get the address to direct it, it saves the picture and sends it to me. So
yes, it does.
Yeah, Sandy really cool. signed us up for a while ago for that.
Yeah,
and it was just 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, I put this one piece of mail to go out. That was on a Sunday evening. Figuring, I saw that there was some stuff coming, like Steve said. No mail on Monday. No mail pickup on Tuesday. No mail pickup on Wednesday. And here we're seeing stuff that should have been delivered. Grab the letter, go over to my post office. I said, we seem to have a problem.
Yep.
Oh, what's the matter? So I told him my address. I says, all right, I've been there since 2004. The mailbox has always been around back where the shop entrance was. It's been that way since, like I said, 2004. You folks have had no issue.
But they have to go down the driveway to get to it.
And I says, this letter has been sitting there since Sunday, and I knew I had stuff coming. Could you please notify the person or carrier who is supposed to be delivering my mail to come around back where they've been supposedly supposed to deliver it? Without any words, I'll handle this. Finally, the next day, I got all this extra mail and flyers. Since then, I have, knock on wood.
You get a new carrier that doesn't know and stuff.
Because they don't see a mailbox in the front.
Right.
But yet, there's still the sign that says there in the entrance.
And there's an address on the letter that there's the address of the house. So find a mail. Our postal carrier sometimes does that. If we get packages that don't fit in the mailbox, although he has shoved some stuff into the mailbox, because then he has to drive in and get out of the truck, which takes time, which then they get penalized for how long they take.
Right.
You know, like you said, he had to come down the hill because, like I say, my sign is still out there. It says Enright PC, and the arrow pointing entrance is down below.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Walter from Rochester, New York. What's up, Walter?
Hi there, all. I have some perhaps good news, bad news for, I guess it's John with his Yahoo Mail.
Yeah?
The situation happened to me a couple of years ago. And so very deep in their FAQs about security, it said that Yahoo at times doesn't quite understand your password or whatever else it is, so it stops you accessing it. And therefore, but the good news is that if you wait 5, 7, maybe about 7 days, they'll return it again, and you can use again your ID and your password. They don't eliminate it. They don't change it.
Yeah.
But you just sit there waiting for it to magically reappear.
Reset.
Right. So it depends if John's, the original message John got was account locked or password not recognized.
Right.
Yeah, right. If he gets that. I didn't get that because, again, I use a desktop. I went to there. I just couldn't access it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could get into Yahoo Help, and that's where I found out, digging deep into the security.
Good point.
Yep.
Nice catch, Walter. Thank you.
Yeah.
So he's just got to be patient, and you know, hopefully he doesn't screw up things with his contacts.
Okay. Right.
Yep. I would probably recommend getting a new email address.
Yeah, get a backup.
Right, get a backup email address.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Take care, my friend.
I found out something horrible about Spectrum Mail this week.
Oh.
We had a customer that stopped getting Spectrum Mail a few days ago, and we're trying to figure everything out. So one of the first things I do is I log into Webmail to verify his password. message pops up and says, thank you for verifying your account. You have 6 months to re-verify.
Huh?
Using a mail program does not count. With all Spectrum mail, rochester.r.com, I don't know about other cities, but at least rochester.r.com, at least once every 6 months, you must log in to webmail to keep your account active, even if you're a Spectrum customer.
Wow.
Because they cancel your account if you leave Spectrum.
Right.
Whoa. And they didn't warn him. I could see like an email, you know, at 58 days, 50, please log into webmail.
Yeah, you got a week.
Yeah, nothing in junk, nothing in the inbox. It just wasn't there.
Dang.
So I don't know how long this policy has been in effect. Probably 6 months.
Right.
Because we just started seeing.
Right. So I think they would have told people.
Yeah. You know, it's probably in your...
I mean, they have everybody's email address.
It's probably in your Spectrum bill. There's a printout in your bill that you didn't look at.
Maybe.
Because no one ever looks at that. So no one ever looks to pay the bill, let alone look at it.
Or if it's on auto pay.
Yeah, on auto pay, yeah. But that's another point. You should look at your bill, see what you're paying for. We had a customer that his Spectrum bill was like $300 a month. And we found, 9 DVRs. On the account for a one-bedroom apartment.
Okay. When you've got to watch that many shows.
So what we're pretty sure happened is they called Spectrum with a problem, and the technician came out and replaced the DVR, added the new DVR to the account, and went home.
And never removed
The last one. And so we had our customer call Spectrum while she was in the store. And they said, well, why do I have 9 DVRs on my account? And the Spectrum person says, because you ordered them.
Yeah.
And the customer says, okay, and starts to hang up. And then Jackie said, no, wait a minute. Tell them your sister wants to talk to them. Jackie laid into them. So why are there 9? And it had been a couple of years.
Yeah.
She's been paying
at
least $100 extra a month.
At least.
At least. So make sure, count up your DVR boxes, count up your cable boxes. That was another thing that really annoyed us when Spectrum started scrambling channels.
Right.
You used to be able to just plug the cable line into your TV and watch, you know, the 10, 13, things like that. Then they made you put a box on every single television at $5 a month or more.
Right.
Inconsistencies. Some people are getting charged 5. Some people are getting charged 10.
Yep.
So make sure that you actually have what your bill says you have. Check what packages it says you have. You know, if you're paying for Spanish television and you didn't want it, get it taken off. Yeah, if you're paying for Spectrum Ultimate 1 gig service and it's just you probably don't need 1 gig service. You could get away with a 300 meg service. Look at your bills and make sure that you're getting what you're paying for and you're not paying for what you don't have.
The first time I went with my own wireless router.
Mm-hmm.
And the technician came out for a couple of things, squirrels on the line and a few other things. And while he was there, I said, you know, let's get rid of this. So he did. And as he was packing up, I said, no, we have to check.
Mm-hmm.
So he logged in and said, oh, it's still on your account. I said, yeah, take it off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He did. And then the next bill I checked myself. But yeah, there's no incentive for them to remove it.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Until you call and complain, and then it's free money for them.
It's free money for them. So check your bills. I know it's a pain in the patoot. I get it. Believe me.
But it's money. Hello? You're throwing that out.
Especially your cable bill. People complain about how high it's getting, your streaming bill. Look at it. Make sure it's actually what you're seeing.
Right. That you're getting what you're paying for, and you're not paying for stuff you don't want.
That was the thing with some of the streaming services, where you could pay extra to get no commercials. Well, now some of them have started changing that. You pay extra to get fewer commercials. Right. You pay even more extra to get no commercials.
Right. It's again.
What a racket.
But I'm old enough to remember commercials, so I don't care myself.
Right.
That's when I run to go to the bathroom or something. And actually, I still have to pause it during the commercial because I love the channels that show you it's going to be a 90-second commercial.
Yes.
Well, if I'm going to be longer than that, I'll have to.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no one knows the terror of your brother or sister screaming, "It's back on!" And as you run from the bathroom
because you had nothing else, no other way to see it,
and it would never aired again. Yeah.
Right? We don't remember. You know, younger folks don't have any idea how that works. And we're used to a certain set rhythm of a show.
Mm-hmm.
There's act one, which ends in a climax before the commercial. Act two, climax before the, act three. Nowadays, with shows that don't have commercials, you don't have to do that. But now they're putting commercials back. Mm-hmm. So we're watching some old shows, and just randomly in the middle of something, a commercial shows up.
Yep.
The same thing happens on YouTube, and it makes me crazy. I get it when it's a talking head.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's a song, do not break in the middle for a commercial. Yep. I'm sorry, that's just low class.
I saw a meme, and I can't believe it's true, but I'm pretty sure it is. So, someone had posted on a YouTube help forum, maybe don't show a pre-roll ad when someone looks up how to perform CPR. And YouTube responded back, if you don't like seeing ads, why don't you join YouTube?
Yep, yep. I don't doubt that's true. Yeah, I don't doubt that's true. I know.
It's just crazy. That's why I like recording a lot of stuff, because mm-hmm. then you can sit there and fast forward.
Not always anymore.
Well, my sling,
some of the DVRs don't let you do that.
We sit there and tape a lot of the programs. Because we get 50 hours of free DVR.
On regular TV, yeah.
Yeah, you can sit there and fast forward. Yeah, regular TV.
Some of the streaming services have
stopped allowing. And that's one thing
that
ticks me off about regular TV. Say an hour show. All right, they get into it for the first half hour.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one, maybe two commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But then from 12:35 up to 1 o'clock... They shove so many commercials in there.
A typical hour television show has 26 minutes of commercials, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. To shove, just to get that. Then, wait a minute, we just had one 3 minutes ago. And then they do just another 5 minute break of commercials, come back, do 4 more minutes of the show, and then another 5 minutes of freaking commercials.
And sometimes it's the same commercial.
Yes.
That's what makes me most crazy.
Yes, annoying is all.
Yeah, when it's the same commercial for an entire hour show. And if you're binge-watching mm-hmm. something, it's the same commercial 300 times.
Yep.
I'm never going to buy that product.
And
I don't care what it is.
It used to be they wouldn't put competitors in the same commercial block.
Right.
But now, competitor after competitor after competitor. Yeah.
Car ads, they'll sit there and show three or four different car dealerships. And it used to be back in the day, you never ran two dealerships.
Yep.
Right within the same
sometimes
break.
They get the same ad in the same commercial break. Add one, add two, and then add one again.
Right.
So I wonder if that's because I use YouTube TV as my primary television source. And I wonder if that means that they're not selling as many ads as traditional cable TV would. And so YouTube fills the time in because the show has 3 minute ad break. And so every now and then we see enjoy this moment of Zen because there isn't an ad that they pay that got bought for that section.
Right.
But showing the same ad in the same break, that's horrible.
Yep. All right. That music tells us that the first hour of this show is over. But don't go away, because there's a whole other hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's right, a whole other hour of Dave Enright, a whole other hour of Steve Ray, a whole other hour of me, Nick Francesco, and a whole other hour of your calls and questions. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. If you haven't written those numbers down, you can find them on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Let me take just a moment to thank everybody who became a member during the last member break, because it helps us a heck of a lot. Thank you. Bless you. You people are wonderful. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites. It's the top of the hour.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's CGI Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition, second hour of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And Nick had to step away for a moment, but he will be back very shortly. And meanwhile, we'll go ahead and go to the phones. We got Dave from Canandaigua. Go ahead, Dave.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello. Who walked in?
Yeah, right. A couple items here. There's always something wrong. My upgrade to Windows 10 has a number of bumps and bounces. I have a USB camera with a built-in microphone, and it I mute it or turn it down using the sound mixer. But when I reboot Windows, or it ends up going back to some default setting, and that ends up giving it get feedback at like the most inopportune times. And I very rarely use the microphone, but I don't want to disable it entirely. But I can't find any way to create a default volume for that microphone.
Have you tried checking the manufacturer website to see if they have an updated driver? I know a lot of standard USB mics.
Well, a lot of them, though, you can go down into the right-hand corner of the Windows screen, and then there's, you know, for the audio, you'll see the little speaker, and there's a down arrow. And you can select whether, you know, you're going to be using, say, that particular mic, or whether you're just going to have it go through other speakers, say your built-in sound card or something like that. And you can control the volume there.
And that's what you're saying resets after your reboot?
Well, yeah, basically. The mixer, and you can even get into the settings for each individual device or whatever, and I've poked around everywhere in there. And when I set something either real low or to mute it, it all, you know, when I do a reboot, it comes back at loud.
What is it? A Realtek?
No, it's Amcrest. It's kind of a piece of junk.
I've got an Amcrest security camera in my driveway.
Okay, because I was going to say you might want to look to see if they've got maybe any updates.
I hadn't even thought to look at their stuff.
Yeah, you might want to check it. Or the other thing, too, is, you know, you can go into the control panel and delete that device. Like I say, first go to the website, see if they've got any new updates. Even if they don't, go ahead and download the latest and greatest. Then what you're going to do is then go into the device manager, see where that device is, and say, delete it. You're going to shut the machine down, bring it back up, and then reinstall that device with the driver that you just downloaded.
Yeah, that should help.
That might, because there might have been a glitch. I mean, maybe it was working. I'm assuming it was working fine for a long, and all of a sudden, you know.
Before the Windows 11 upgrade?
Yeah, or Windows, some Windows update, which they think they know better than you, on, you know, how to handle things, and it just messed things up. And sometimes you got it, they'll fix their problem. Windows only worries about their problems. But if you go ahead, do what I told you, and then restart it and reinstall that device, it might correct it.
Yeah, it worked fine in Windows 7, and all I can say is, please stop helping me.
Right.
But I also. You know, with Google dropping their podcast program, I was in a mad rush for a couple of weeks looking for a replacement, and each of these different ones had some particular problem. I found one which is sort of, in the interim, acceptable because it has a Windows desktop version, plus you can get it on your phone, blah, 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 and it keeps everything in sync, supposedly. It's called Podurama. And so if there's other people out there that are as much of a curmudgeon as I am, that might be useful for them.
It says it's the best free AI-powered podcast app.
Hey, you know, give it's free. Give it a shot and see what it's worth.
Yeah, artificial ignorance. That's what that is.
But the one key thing, though, I would tell any of these people, though, before downloading some of this software and you're not sure whether you're going to want to keep it, install Revo Uninstaller. Because that Revo Uninstaller, you know, if you're going to try different, say, for your example, you're trying to look for different recording systems and you down, say, half dozen different products to try. You install it and you go, yeah, no, I don't want that one. You go ahead, you think you're uninstalling it, and you install another one, and you keep doing that five or six times. All of a sudden, now you've lengthened your registry quite a bit, and you didn't realize it. It's going to slow down your machine. So if you use Revo Uninstaller to uninstall that program, it's going to get rid of the entries in the registry. It's going to delete the folders of that in the file system and make your machine run cleaner.
Yeah. The trick is I've been running this for so long without it that whether that would actually go in and find all the stuff. That
depending on.
It does better if it's installed first, but it can go in and find stuff.
Yeah, even like we also say, if you get some of the paid versions, and it's not very expensive. I think it's like $30 for 2 years service of Revo Uninstaller. Matter of fact, they got a flash drive version that you can put on a flash drive. And if you've got multiple computers, you can put it in from one computer to the other and get them cleaned up. And if you see a bunch of programs that you want to get rid of with the paid version, you can sit there and say, all right, yeah, I'll get rid of this one, this one, this one, this one. Hit uninstall, step back, and it will get rid of all those at one fell swoop. You don't have to do one at a time.
You know, last week, you guys couldn't all make it. If you ever need somebody to fill in, I could fill 2 hours of things I hate about Windows.
So you're going to have to stay.
Volunteer.
You'd have to stand in a very long line.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Dave.
But thank you, sir.
We'll keep you in mind.
I was going to say, it'd probably stretch from here down to Canandaigua on that one.
Yeah.
All right, you take care, my friend.
You too.
Thanks, Dave. Excuse me. Yeah, there's...
That actually can bring up a good tip before you upgrade, especially something big like Windows 10 to 11. Go through your list of devices and download the latest drivers first. You know, your Ethernet and sound card and video card. And if you have a name brand PC, most of the time on the support site for your model computer, they will have links to all of the updated drivers.
And copy those off to a flash drive or a portable hard drive.
So you have them somewhere else in case.
Don't leave them on there because if they, who knows what Windows will do as far as wiping stuff out because they needed the space to reinstall. Because my wife learned the hard way when she had some photos on the desktop. Windows did their upgrade. Some photos came back, but she lost close to 60,000 photos.
They moved stuff off to make space and forgot to put it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have no way to put it back.
And all we got from them was, oh, we're sorry.
Yeah. They don't, so yeah, again, backup. Backup, backup, backup. You don't have enough. You need more. Go make backups. You know, thumb drives are cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but thumb drives are cheap now. Which is not to say buy cheap thumb drives. You should buy at least mid-grade thumb drives. But they're not expensive anymore. So go get yourself a good dozen thumb drives, back stuff up, and then if your thing comes back and you really, really, really don't want them, erase the thumb drives.
Yeah.
But there's no reason not to just take them, throw them in a drawer, label them. These are my pictures, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Put them in a box, label pictures, throw them in a drawer, you're done.
What I've gotten in the habit of doing, and somebody made it for me, was I do a lot of stuff with micro SDs because of my you know, Raspberry Pis and the other stuff I do, because nowadays everything is coming to most computers don't come with DVD drives anymore.
Right.
It's all USB. So I've got this little device that I can put a micro SD card into the side, plug it into the USB port, and then I've got access to it. But I've got this little holder that holds all my different micro SD cards, and I've got next to it labeled on what each one is.
Yep. It's a way to do it. And I've got the same thing also for a regular SD card. Yeah, you can. I'm losing my voice for some reason.
It's this place because the air.
Maybe it certainly is. Everything's.
No, I can feel it
up. Yeah, but at any rate, the idea is you need more backups. And let's talk about photos. If you are an Amazon Prime customer, you have free, unlimited photo storage. Why are you not taking advantage of it? As long as you're paying for Prime anyway.
Whose price keeps going up.
And the price keeps going up.
But they keep adding services. Oh, okay.
Well, they're adding a service. If you're not using it, you then start using it.
So yeah. I suppose it's something.
But, you know, on my phone and on my desktop and everywhere else, I can have, for example, on my phone, when I take a picture, it automatically uploads it to Google and to Amazon Prime, my Amazon storage. Happens automatically. I don't even have to think about it. Just happens. So now I've got three copies of that picture, one on my phone, one on Google, one on Amazon. The likelihood that all three of those are going to disappear means we've got bigger problems somewhere else.
Yeah.
Last thing I'm going to care about is that picture of my
cat. Yeah, really.
So if you're using Amazon Prime, you really should be taking advantage of the free storage. And it's just an app you put on your phone, and then you can connect it to your laptop or desktop or whatever, or do it through the browser. I mean, it works. So be using it. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Kevin from Rochester, New York. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. I've got a Linux PC. It's running Mint, it's either 20 or 21, I don't remember. I'm planning on building a new PC just because this one's old and it's kind of clunky. Could I just pull the hard drive from my old one and plug it in my new computer and run it, or would I have to reinstall it?
Your best bet. Yeah, the answer. Yeah, the correct answer is maybe.
Right.
The likelihood is, depending on how old your machine is, that a lot of the internals are going to be different.
Yeah, hard drive. I mean, the motherboard and, you know, video cards and sound cards. Everything's the BIOS. Yeah. Even the BIOS will be different.
So your best bet is to, look, depending on how you're running Linux Mint, it's all free programs anyway.
Right.
So installing clean is all, what?
Yeah, it just took me like, you know, it took like 6 months to get the thing finally running where all my programs run exactly the way I want them to run. You know what I mean?
That's always the way.
What you can try is try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Hopefully what will happen is the first time the drive boots on the new computer, it will update all the drivers it needs.
Right.
Worst case is it won't boot at all because it can't find the right drivers. So then if you install Linux over Linux, it shouldn't mess up any of your data. But have a backup anyway.
Oh, okay.
And then during the install, it will load all the right drivers.
Yeah, and you can just do an update, right? Because Linux Mint is Linux Mint, and you can just say, update it.
One word of caution. When you do put that in there and wait to see if it's going to boot, be patient. Because it's going to take a little time for it to do its investigation to see if it can even really boot. If it doesn't do it, you know, say in the next 15 minutes, then yeah, maybe that might be concerning.
And it may not load the video driver yet. That may be one of the last one it loads.
I was thinking I didn't know if I should try to just copy over the home folder or make a time shift thing and then try to load that on the machine. I didn't know if there was like a best way to try it or.
Well, in terms of your home folder, that will be all of your data, and you absolutely should have a backup of that.
Okay.
And a backup that's off the machine, right? If you're building a new machine, you're eventually going to have two machines on your desk, and you can connect them and just copy, just, you know,
stuff back
drag and drop. That's fine.
Right.
But you want a backup just in case.
Yeah.
Cover your butt.
As for the programs, I'm not as familiar with Mint, but I believe it uses dpackage, the apt setup. There are ways to get a list of all the programs you've installed.
Okay.
And then on the new machine, you could basically just say, see that list? Install those.
Oh, okay. Is that a standalone program or a command or something?
Yeah, well, the actual command, where can I put this that you'll see it?
Post it on your link list. Do you have the link to add a link list?
I do, but I don't.
It's going to be like a text file.
Let me think about how I can get that to you.
Have them email you.
Yeah, email me. Email me. Okay. Nick@soundbites.org.
All right.
And I will send you how to do that. If it doesn't work, again, I don't use Mint, but I think this will work because I think it uses apt.
Yeah.
Okay.
It uses dpackage, rather.
I have installed programs using apt on Mint.
So. Okay. So I will send you how to do that. And if it doesn't work, you still got the list of programs and you can install them. But this may help.
Okay.
It won't necessarily do all of the changes you've made, like where you put it on your desktop or whatever, but it will install the program.
Okay. That sounds good. I'll give that a whirl then. Maybe I'll shoot you an email then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, that's the only way I'm going to be able to get it to him. It's a series of commands, and I'm not going to read them out. Over the air.
Add it to one of your tips at AskNick.com.
I should make it available there. But I do that. It's a dpackage command that takes all the packages that are installed and saves them to a text file. You then move that text file over to the new machine.
Dpackage hyphen list?
Hyphen, no.
List all.
Thank you. It's actually --- something.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get
no,
you
I'd already
thinking.
Closed it. --get --selections. And then the greater than symbol, which is moves it over to, and then you give it a file name. And then you want to export all your apt keys. And then if you're doing snap, you want to export all your snaps. If you're doing flat packs, you want to export all your flat packs. Then you move all those over to the other machine and give the corresponding commands.
Yep.
To install everything. That's why I'm not going to do it over the air.
Yeah, that'd be a little lengthy.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Hey, I got a couple questions for you. One might be a bit of a rhetorical question, but I'm thinking about buying a laptop, a new laptop, and erasing what's on it and putting Linux on it. Is it crazy of me to spend $1,000 on a laptop and
yes and no.
I wouldn't buy a Windows laptop, pay for Windows, and just then erase it.
Right.
Look at laptops that come pre-installed with Linux.
There are a number of them from a number of companies. Dell sells one, as a matter of fact. Dell, at least used to, sell laptops with Linux pre-installed. In addition, where I think it's a little crazy is $1,000.
Okay.
Don't need it.
You don't need really to spend $1,000 on the system. You want to turn your phone down, your radio down, please.
Yeah, that's off.
Okay. What you want to do is it's much. I buy $200, $300 laptops all the time.
I just sold a $5,000 video editing laptop this week.
Yes, but that's for video editing.
Yeah.
Hello, Buffalo.
For Linux, that might be a little overkill.
64 RAM, 4 terabyte SSD.
I mean, I'm just guessing.
You can get a decent it's not going to be the greatest, but it also depends on what you intend to do with it, how much RAM you want, et cetera, et cetera. But $300, $400, even $500 is plenty for, remember, Linux runs faster than Windows.
Okay.
You get more bang for your buck.
I would say the key things to look for when you're looking for it is processor speed, disk space, and memory.
And I'm
the chip being your first criteria, you know, and then go with memory. More memory is always better. And then, you know, the size hard drive you want.
And I'm posting a link from TechRadar on the best Linux laptops available.
Oh, fabulous.
Because like, you know, Nick was saying, though, it's going to be so much faster than a Windows machine because it doesn't have all that junk to take care of.
Great. Okay. So second question then will be, I am trying to use Thunderbird on a desktop. And everything is working well except the view of the list of mail is kind of small. I have a 27-inch monitor, and I have to get close to the screen to see it, and there's no way to that I have found to enlarge that list text. I can enlarge everything on the right-hand side, but the stuff on the left-hand side where it lists the accounts, drafts, sent, mail sent, all
that. Oh,
that
side. Yeah, okay. That's the control, not what I was thinking of.
If you don't hit the control and the plus key.
Control and the plus key.
That usually everything on your screen will then enlarge.
That's not everything on the screen. That's everything in the current message.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But not.
Well, that's
not
what he was having problems. No, I thought was seeing
the
was
mail, the list of mailboxes and the list of messages.
Oh. Sorry.
Yeah. Not many. I haven't seen many programs that allow that to be changed, other than changing the resolution of the whole monitor.
Well, everything else looks just fine as far as other programs, other.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm looking at web stuff, if I'm looking at any other app that I have, is fine. But this one, I've got to get my nose to the screen to be able to read it.
What about the Windows magnifier?
But you shouldn't have to do that.
But that's like usually just a small spot. I don't need the whole window. I just need that left-hand side.
Everything left
the center.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I see that you certainly can change the size of the font, but not specifically for that left-hand side.
Yeah. Because the right-hand side, I can control and scroll and make it bigger or smaller. The right-hand side, not so much.
Well, you can change the default font.
And size. That would be in settings?
That's under settings, general. Scroll down a ways, you'll see fonts and colors, and it'll give you the default font, and it's sans serif or serif or whatever it is.
And the size.
And the size.
Okay. All right, we try jacking that up and see what it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all I can suggest. I'm sorry. You're right. They don't give you as much
control
as you might like.
Yeah, that did help.
There you go.
That did. I'm looking right at it. That did help perfectly.
Excellent.
There you go.
Again, you guys, you know, I know the fun drive's over, but you can always click on that donate button.
That's there exactly right.
Another, thank you for reminding
thank you very
folks.
Much. Another unsolicited testimonial.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's they don't give you the granular abilities that you might like to have, but...
The fact that the message size can be increased, it shouldn't be a problem to increase the whole interface.
Right. Well, you can increase the whole interface. He was looking specifically for that left side alone.
Yeah, but the mailboxes, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just a couple of minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. It strikes me as unusual. Thank you. I didn't say I was struck by an unusual man. It strikes me as unusual that midnight last night and midnight this morning could indicate the same exact time.
Well, so we have AM and PM.
Yep.
Anti-meridium and post-meridium.
Right.
So that means 12 midnight is meridium.
Exactly. 12 noon, actually.
AM and, AM and PM, yeah.
So noon is the meridian.
See, that's why I like going by UTC.
Yeah.
So it still has a meridian.
So we're gonna set up a clock, right? 24 hours in a day, right? So how many hours are gonna be in the clock? 12.
12.
And the day's gonna start at 1, right? No, 12.
12. It's gonna start at 0.
Which 12? Yeah.
And that's why you use 24-hour time, not GMT, but 24-hour time.
Yeah.
Because 0:30 is 30 minutes after midnight.
Yep.
There's no question it's 30
minutes.
Well,
that's like in the military. You know, everything was 24-hour clock.
Right.
You went into most places, offices within base, and it had a 24-hour clock.
Yeah, it should. Yeah.
I read so many stories about people who don't understand time zones, never heard of a time zone, don't believe in time zones. You said you're up until 5. I called at 4 o'clock, and you weren't there. Well, you're in Eastern time, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock your time, is, you know, we were closed. No, it's the same time everywhere in the world.
I have a friend in Manila. She's 12 hours ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk to each other like at, you know, 9 to midnight. My time is 9 to noon her time.
Yep.
Or 9 to noon her time is 9 to midnight my time. That's kind of it.
Yeah, well, I've got a friend down in Australia.
Yeah.
And I have to, you know, I'll either call him very early in the morning, around 7 or so. He's getting ready to go to bed.
Right.
Or then I wind up calling him later that evening, my time, and it's morning for him.
Yep.
So we can sit there and get caught up
on
stuff.
I've got a world clock with about 8 time zones on it because I got people in all those time zones that I deal with every day. They're, you know, the people in Australia manage one of my websites. So
I was supporting a team in San Diego once, and it was nice. I didn't have to go to work until noon.
Right.
But then I had to stay at work until 9 or 10 p.m.
Right. Yeah.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dennis?
Hi, this is kind of for Steve. I have ClarisWorks 5. I've been using it since I bought it. I had it on a Windows 7 machine, maybe even the machine before that. I have it on Windows 10 right now. It works just fine. Am I going to not be able to use it if I change over to Windows 11?
ClarisWorks 5 has got to be 20 years old because they renamed it AppleWorks like 20 years ago.
Yeah, I've had it for that long.
Yeah. So I doubt anyone has any compatibility statement for a program that old. Or did you find something?
LibreOffice.
Yeah, right. You can use a different program to read the files.
Right.
But so you may not be able to use ClarisWorks itself.
Right. So if you went to LibreOffice, it will read everything from 4.1 on.
Okay. And I got one related question to that. Windows Defender found, all of a sudden, it found and captured a Trojan, and it said it had to do with ClarisWorks. So I said remove it, and it removed the ClarisWorks program. I reinstalled the ClarisWorks program, and the Trojan was there again.
It's a fake message. It's not a Trojan. It's the, because
the false positive.
False positive. Because the program is so old, Windows Defender doesn't know what to do with this file. ClarisWorks 5 is from 1997. Originally released under Windows 3, I think it was, maybe 4.
Wow.
Yeah, so 28 years is, I think, long enough.
Windows 98 or something.
Yeah.
Windows 98 first.
Yeah.
But then, so it took me a couple of times. I reinstalled ClarisWorks, and the business about the Trojan is gone. I just was curious why that was happening.
It's clearly a false positive.
Okay. Okay. Good. I'm all set, and I shouldn't be using it because it's old, and I'm probably not going to be able to use it much longer, I gather.
Well, A, isn't necessarily going to work in newer versions of Windows, and B, you're missing a lot of functionality. Like I said, if you load something like LibreOffice, which is free, you will have to learn a new program. It's going to be that different.
Very similar.
Yeah. You are going to have to learn a new program, but you will be able to open anything from ClarisWorks 4.1 on.
Yeah, I have a lot of different stuff and a lot of different, I have a text, I got spreadsheets, and...
Yeah, it should all work.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys.
Yep. Sure. And once you've opened it, save it in LibreOffice's own format.
Yeah.
And by the way, before you do anything, make some backups. Before you do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look, I know I've harped on this throughout this show, but so many problems are saved by being able to say, not a problem, I got a backup.
Yeah.
And particularly when you're doing something major, like updating the version of your operating system or replacing an office program with a different office program.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun sometimes looking through these old notes. So... ClarisWorks 5 was a 32-bit app.
Yep.
It required a 386.
No.
Running Windows 95.
Well, that's just unreasonable.
Yeah. And then got replaced with AppleWorks for 4 or 5 versions.
Here's another thing you'll find. If you're running a 32-bit program, you're slowing your machine down considerably. So if you're running LibreOffice as the latest version at 64-bit, you may well find your machine feels a little faster.
Yep.
It's not going to be like buying a super $50,000 computer or whatever it was you sold that guy, but it's going to be faster.
Yeah. He may have to go to LibreOffice 4 for ClarisWorks. I'm seeing notes that LibreOffice 5 removed support for ClarisWorks.
Well, it's a 23-year-old program.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand that. Okay, so maybe not.
But LibreOffice 4 is still around.
LibreOffice 4 is still around. So load that. Load all your ClarisWorks files. It's going to be a project, but load all your ClarisWorks files. Save them under LibreOffice format.
Take your time.
Then update LibreOffice. And now you're running at the latest and greatest of everything.
Keep the old computer running to get at your old files when you need them and do everything new on the new computer.
That's exactly right. I know we love what we're used to and what we're familiar with, and we don't want to learn anything new and get off my lawn. I get all of that. But 23 years is long enough. It's time to move on.
There might be some changes and improvements and other stuff.
Yeah.
That might make even your life easier.
And you know what? Trying something new is what keeps you young.
So, keeps the mind going.
Exactly right.
I showed somebody the fill down command once. They wanted to make a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And they were typing 1, 2, 3, 4. Right. No, you just type 1, 2, fill down, and it'll fill.
Yeah.
And automatically it figures out what you meant by the first two lines. Oh, my God, I do that so often.
Yeah, it's just like if in a
spreadsheet. You do with dates.
Yeah, yeah, or dates, months. If you put in January, February, and then just drag it down. It fills in the rest of the 10 months.
Yep. Yep. So it's easy. You know, there's a lot of features that people aren't using.
They don't know until someone tells them.
Until someone tells them.
Because no one ever gets training, and no one ever either gets or reads the manual if they have it.
And the reality is people don't want training.
Yeah.
If we were offering training today, if it were free, some people would come. But if you said, I will charge you to teach you to be much more efficient in Excel, people wouldn't pay anymore.
Well, the problem with being more efficient is the reward is you get more work.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's another reward most
that's
of us
true.
Want.
That's true.
Yeah, it equates to that in their mind.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes. I explained that a couple of weeks ago, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So I understand that that it's a problem for people. I do.
That's the way life goes sometimes.
Oh, here's a this is interesting. The Samsung support team has acknowledged a recent display issue which has been seen on older Galaxy phones after a recent update. As a solution for those affected, the company has offered screen replacements for select models. Several reports emerged citing a display glitch that affected some of the older Galaxy phones after the April update started rolling out, resulting in a green line appearing on displays of the Galaxy S22 series, S21 series, and several others. Samsung recommends the users visit their nearest support center, service center. As a note, it has further shared that they will fix it for older devices, even if they aren't on warranty, provided there is no physical or water damage. So if you take it to a repair facility and they say, no, we have to charge you, explain to them what Samsung is telling them. Samsung recommends the users visit their... The suggested repair includes a one-time free replacement of the affected screen for selected models, comprising the Galaxy S20 series, the Note 20 series, that's the one you used to have, including the Ultra, the S21 series, excluding the Fan Edition model, and the S22 Ultra. The purchase date should be within 3 years. Because that's when they came out. If you are a Samsung device user from the lot above and facing the issue, it is highly recommended that you visit the nearby service center before April 30th. There's a limited life on this offer. That said, other Galaxy owners have also faced the green line problem after installing the April 2024 security update. They include models like the Galaxy A73, Galaxy M21, M52 5G, and the Galaxy Z Flip 3. While these aren't mentioned in the applicable device list, the handset owners are advised to visit their nearest service center regardless. So are you seeing the green line? Give us a call. The phone part still works. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. I got to say, that's really nice of Samsung. They're stepping up.
Yeah.
And saying,
very
look,
proactive.
Our problem, we're fixing it. It's not going to cost you a penny. That's classy stuff.
The problem we often see is that most companies have plans like this, and they publicize it in the trade press, but average people don't read the trade press, and so they don't know that there's this issue that they could get fixed for free. We get computers in all the time that had a repair extension 10 years ago that they could have got this fixed for free and
didn't take advantage of it.
Because they didn't know.
Didn't know about it, yeah.
And that's why I read it here.
And now it's expired, and they can't do it now.
Right.
Yeah, so that's we're doing our public service.
Right. And you have only until April 30th. That's another 6 days, so think about doing it this week.
That's 3 days.
Yeah.
Oh, today's 27th.
27th, yeah.
So you only have a few days left. We just heard about it ourselves, so... we could not have gotten it to you any earlier.
So that's the other thing they do is they don't give me enough time.
Right.
And it's in a locked closet, you know, behind a door that said "Beware of Leopard."
Right. Right. I did that instead of the Apple one about the reset the password.
Yeah. Apparently, for some people, this morning around midnight, Apple reset Apple ID passwords. And are requiring you to create a new password. Nobody knows for sure yet. One person said that they talked to somebody that said that Apple will occasionally update systems. But it makes me think something may have happened.
Breach. That they're not talking about?
That they're not talking about yet. Now, by law, every company has to publicly disclose a breach because it could affect their share price.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think they have 72 hours to legally disclose it.
Of course, they're trying to right now within that 72 hours is a polite way to water down to say, oh, yeah, your data got out of.
Well, more importantly, they want to close the breach.
Yeah.
So that when they do have to announce it, they can say we had a problem, but it's fixed.
But horses are already out of the barn, folks.
Well, that's right.
Because it's slightly different than the story you had last week about the two-factor notifications people started getting.
Right.
Bad guy tries to log into your account, sends you a two-factor, and then calls you on the phone because he got that information from the same place you got the password from, said, "Hi, I'm Apple, and we need the two-factor we just sent to your code." And, okay, here. Yeah. No. If you didn't go asking for it, don't believe it.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And it is important, I think, to be more cynical. We're not cynical enough. And that's simply
a fact. It's the perceived safety. I'm on my computer in my home. You know, even if someone knocked on your door and said, "Hi, I'm from Apple. We need to reset your password," you wouldn't believe them.
Mm-mm.
But if a message pops up on your screen and says, "You know, hi, we need to reset your password," you're gonna say, "Okay."
Yep. Yeah, it's an important thing to be more cynical, to pay more attention. Fact is, Apple's never going to call you. Microsoft never going to call you. Google never going to call you. The reality is they don't care about you.
The thing of it is, though, the bigger issue is not enough word gets out there to folks that are unknowing.
Yep.
You take the elderly or even folks that are saying, "Well, I'm not that great at computers." So you don't pay attention to this stuff. So when they're working on their computers and all of a sudden they get this call, they go into a panic because they think they're going to lose all their data. And that's what they pry on.
Right.
It's the fear.
Right.
Fear and uneducated, and I don't mean dumb by any means, just uneducated as far as some of these scams. Because, like we've said for a long time, you can go to some of these websites, and I'd believe you 100% if you swear up and down that that looked like your official banking website. Yeah, because they steal all those logos and everything else to make it look like that. But if you don't check the toolbar up at the top that says where you're going to, and it's saying, "Oh, Russia or some other country," you're going to get nailed.
Yep.
Apple.com.ru. Again, got to watch that last bit.
Yep. All right, it's the last bit that's important. I also had a discussion online this week with a guy. I was saying, you know, it's going to a 4-character password is cracked immediately, and a 50-character password takes 10,000 years. And he was saying, "Well, you're not factoring in the amount of time you have to wait between tries." No, they aren't doing it through the website.
Mm-hmm.
They've stolen the database, which means they can put it on their machine and run a million hits a second against that database.
Yep. We're starting to see that with the LastPass breach.
Yep.
People are getting their crypto wallets broken into because they had their crypto password in the LastPass. They were doing what they thought was good. And now the because of a mistake LastPass made, the bad guys are into those password vaults.
That's got to be hurting LastPass big time.
Big time. I will say that I do not worry about anyone breaking into my crypto wallet. A month ago, we were talking about crypto. So on the Soundbites, by the way, tomorrow night is the Soundbites Lounge. Head on over to soundbites.org/lounge. There'll be a link at 9 p.m. to join us on a video chat. We're there every Sunday night at 9. You can ask your questions there or just join in the mayhem. We were talking about crypto. So on the following Monday, I set up a crypto wallet on one of my Raspberry Pis.
Mm-hmm.
I have in the last, 36 days made a whopping 2.3 cents.
You buying this lunch?
And how much power did that cost?
And it costs me a penny a day to run the and that's not counting the cost of the Raspberry Pi itself, but it costs a penny a day to run it. So in 38 days, I've spent 38 cents and made two, not counting the cost of the hardware. It does not pay to run crypto anymore.
You think?
And people are beginning to find that out, which is why
now
crypto is dropping. When I started 38 days ago, I'm doing Monero, and it was somewhere around $150 per Monero. Now it's down to like $109 or something per Monero, and it's dropping precipitously.
And now there's a glut of video cards on the market because all the crypto miners sold their machines. For a while, you couldn't buy a video card because they were all going into crypto miners.
So the fact of crypto dying is good for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Because we can get inexpensive video cards again, even used ones. So, yeah. But yeah, it, you know what? I set it up just for fun, just because I keep talking about how it's not worth it. And I finally said to myself, you know, if you're going to be intellectually honest, you got to try
it. Yeah.
You got to try it, because otherwise you don't really know. You're just accepting somebody else's
work. And the Raspberry Pi isn't eating up a heck of a lot of power.
Exactly. And I could have set up a bigger machine and done it on that, but it doesn't matter, because the scale up isn't really going to matter.
It is what it is. And whether you got a killer machine or a little Raspberry Pi, it is, you know, it's something that is past its prime.
The days when you could get 50 bitcoins overnight are long gone.
You're better off buying Bitcoin with real dollars and hoping the price keeps going up.
Which it isn't, by the way.
As the guy that's going to jail right now, they found out they busted him.
Yeah.
Well, looking at trends, so a year ago, Bitcoin was $29,000 per coin. Today, it's $63,000.
Right.
But it's down from $75,000 a month ago.
Right. So if you bought it 2 years ago and sold it last month, you made about $50,000 a coin. Mm-hmm. Not a bad investment.
Right.
If you waited, or if you bought a month ago, you're kind of done.
You're hosed.
You're kind of done.
So you got to hope it goes back up again, and there's no idea if it will or not.
No real indication that that's going to happen.
People are seeing for what it is, and it's just a Ponzi scheme that's, you know, no different than all the old pyramid systems and everything else. When you got in on the bottom floor, you were good.
Yep. And those people who did, God bless each and every one of them. Good for you.
Yeah. But once it gets going, you know, and diversing out, it gets thinner and thinner, folks.
It's thinner and thinner. And Monero, frankly, is one of the easiest. You don't need, in fact, it will not let you use a high-end graphics card to do your algorithm. It is designed to run on low-end, slow machines to give people who haven't got that kind of money back in the day, right, a chance to do it. It's a long time. You may luck into one, and again, if you do, God bless you. Good for you. But for most of us, it isn't going to happen.
We are not financial advisors. We don't. This is not a recommendation.
Right.
This has nothing to do with us or this radio station.
Right. So this is
interesting technology.
This is just us bloviating. So,
yeah, it's just fun, something to talk about and try to save you the effort and pain.
Right.
Of even considering it, because there's a lot of hype out there. Oh, you should try crypto and all this. No.
We used to have all our computers running SETI at home during their idle cycles.
Yep.
And then we solved all their data.
Right. All their data are gone now, so we're not even doing that anymore.
And then the Arecibo telescope collapsed.
Right. Which is sad, is so sad. That's the thing. I was using that Raspberry Pi to do SETI at home. And then a couple of other things, folding at home and a couple of others. And I thought, what the hell? Play around with this Monero business for a little bit. So I've done that testing. And it's still running. It's not finding much. And it's just basically sitting in the corner mumbling to itself. It's not a big deal. I wouldn't put my faith in crypto at this point. At all. Just another opinion, not a fact. We don't, as Steve said,
just keeping you informed.
Financial advice.
Yep. Just informed on stuff because you might hear it.
This is our personal opinions.
Yep.
And it has no connection to reality in any way, shape, or form. as so much of what we say on this show.
Well, like they say, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one. Just depends on how much lint's in them.
Exactly right. So take that with whatever grain of lint you want and move on from crypto to whatever the next big thing is. All right. That's it. We are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. I particularly want to thank each and every one of you called in. Great questions this week. And of course, particularly let me thank all the people who were so kind and so generous during the recent pledge drive. We thank each and every one of you. It is you who keeps this show and this station on the air. It is you who keeps us coming back week after week to do this nonsense. And so you share the blame amongst yourselves, and you have our undying gratitude. But we are done for this week. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.